Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental spoken word radio produced at NASCAD University. This episode is entitled Our Wildest Dreams.
We all deserve to join one another in our wildest dreams.
I have a lot of problems that need to be dealt with. And if I had someone to tell me what to do, it would make a lot of things easier. Okay.
I don't know what it's called, but it's green and white and kind of looks like the inside of a coral. And you can see the way in which it holds moisture to keep itself alive. And it's just like this little dance of, I guess it's algae and a plant. I don't know what moss or lichen is, but it's not algae and it's not another thing. It's great.
You want to actually be like making some kind of difference or some kind of impact. You need to always be changing. You're always evolving. You're always like working with whatever's happening around you. Constant reaction is not just like one reaction. You like stretch it out. Mm-hmm. You need to be changing all the time.
Our interconnectivity is relevant at such a minute level.
I refuse to believe that the world is inherently a hateful place. I think I have to make that decision over and over again on a regular basis. I wish I didn't have to, but sometimes there are days where I have to work hard at it. Yeah.
I think maybe our phones. I think the phones are going to have something to do with it.
Oh.
And maybe like a zombie situation with the phones.
Oh, okay.
And then complete like human extinction.
Neat. So are you thinking the phones are going to lead to the zombies? Or do you think it's like...
Dreams wildest hour in. Another one joined to. Deserve all we... Fantasy manifesting. Toward intentions, your spend fantasy, desire, dreams. Our do, so yet, reality to manifest fears, power. Our fears manifest reality, yet so do our dreams, desires, and fantasies. Spend your intentions toward manifesting fantasy. We all deserve to join one another in our wildest dreams.
My scientific brain wants to believe that it's just random firing of neurons, because that's a theory that we know about. But I do think that, like, subconsciously, the themes that come forward in your dreams... Yeah, it's coming from somewhere, something that you've thought about before, at least related to something that you've thought about before.
That's very tough.
We drew a line, a chalk line or some kind of line, and we stood back, and everyone had to throw their cans toward this line. Now, the one who was farthest away from the line, I think it was the one that was farthest away, would be the one whose can had to go on the rock. You understand? All right, the rest of them, it wasn't a line. It was a rock in the center of the alley, and everyone had to throw their cans toward this rock. All right, the can that was, the farthest away from the rock was the one that was it. And he had to come and put his can on the rock. And everyone stood over the can. All right, now you had to lean over and pick up your can and throw it and knock this fellow's can off the rock without him seeing you pick up your can. And if he saw you, I don't know whether he chased you or not, or hit you, or tried to reach you, or what it was, but you tried to knock his can off of the rock, and what the objective was, I've forgotten now. But we used to have a lot of fun playing.
I don't have any reoccurring dreams, but I have reoccurring settings.
Oh, interesting.
Where, very anxiety-driven dreams where I'm being chased or pursued will happen in this concrete environment. It's almost like if you were to take an arena and strip off all of the, like, everything out except for the concrete.
Mm.
And, clue, there's nowhere to hide in that scenario.
So it's like an open space?
Yeah, but there are open spaces, and then there are the spaces on the periphery where, if you just keep far enough ahead, that person can't see you around the corner.
Oh, okay.
And there are extra twists and turns in it just for, you know, I guess visual effect. My brain will just throw in there.
Interesting.
And then there's a old German house in the Alps that, like, I don't know why I describe it like that. It's just, that's how it comes to me, where there's often a us-and-them type battle where if they get in the house, then everything's bad.
Have you ever been to this house?
Never.
So it's not based on an actual house you've been to?
No, and I don't recall seeing it in a movie anywhere. I'm just... Yeah, it just comes to me every couple months, and I'm there, and it's usually a similar theme in those spaces, but the characters are always different. The main objective is usually different.
I have a reoccurring dream that I'm at my parents' house, and I'm eating breakfast with my mom, and there's a knock on the door, and I go to the door, and there's this large man, and he has, like, a potato sack, and he says, "I need you to get in the bag." And I start freaking out, because obviously I don't want to be kidnapped by a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back into the kitchen to my mom, and I say, "Mom, there's a man at the door, and he's trying to kidnap me." And she's like, "I don't know what you want me to do about that. Like, you should probably just go with that man." And so I just stand there arguing with my mom, and she's like, "I don't know what you expect me to do. You just have to get in the bag and go with the man." I have that dream all the time.
Well, I guess it's just like that sometimes. Anyways, it's Sunday again, and I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm thinking about the times when I was a bit younger. Those high school discos, and I would linger alone by the sides of the brick walls, lustfully looking at all the girls. I wasn't alone by the wall. I think most of the people in my class were standing there. I closed my eyes and I remembered, or I imagined dancing cheek to cheek with an arm wrapped around the waist and the other one pathetically resting on the shoulder. Cheek to cheek, eh? With my eyes closed, I remember this moment quite well. Ignoring everyone else, they stood stiff by the red brick walls, gossiping about us. I could feel your warmth. It was being pressed against my body. and your blonde hairs on your arm moved with every breath that I took. I remember feeling it was important. I remember that I stopped breathing, trying to pause and match your breath, or the way that you breathed. I could smell your skin from being so close to your neck. Young, adolescent sweat, fluttering in my stomach. I remember we danced intimately. It was probably only for the duration of a song, but it felt like hours. I could go home in peace that night. I could end it that day. It felt like I had completed what I'd been placed here to do. Or maybe it was only really the beginning of what it is that I love. Either way, it's just these thoughts. It's a Sunday, and I'm reimagining my youth. Imagining how things maybe could have been. Either way.
What is your get out of jail free card?
Oh.
The delete button.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
So I guess it would be a lot of stories out there that describe in a visual way how I can interact with the world.
Okay, yeah.
So my interaction, just like an operating system, can sometimes overheat.
Oh, interesting.
And that's, for me, a notification that I need to focus on specific areas where I'm just on the brink of overcoming something.
Mm.
And that can be the typical topics of the day, say North Korea, South Korea, or immigration reform, the election that's coming up on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Those issues have resonation and impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
And they impact society as well in ways where our interconnectivity is relevant at such a minute level.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to the actual vision of how you see the blue in the sky, how you feel about it at night.
Mm-hmm.
And does that song that you used to sing when you were a kid take away that beauty that you used to feel about the dusk falling on Halifax or in Montreal when you were growing up, let's say.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Annapolis Valley.
Right.
So you have the pen, pineapple, apple pen.
Okay, yes.
You have things like that that dumb down, I feel, society.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at something and it's just very simple, basic, stupid YouTube video to get a lot of views.
Right, yeah.
But a lot of people will play that along in their mind and it goes to their creativity. And it does create quirks and it would do algorithmic sets through neuron firing that leads to interactions being skewed. And so my operating system is to try to work through all of those problems with myself to understand how does that YouTube video I watched implicate me in my own regressive actions to someone where I might not actually be judgmental to them, where I could actually see who they are and relate to them.
Interesting.
And so I try to take back each of those images, those field images in my mind to try to relate to them. And I try to play it back in my mind so that I can relate it to the world and understand where everyone else is coming from.
Very interesting. Can you think of an example where that's worked for you really well?
On everyday scale.
Yeah.
On everyday scale, interacting with people in the last 3 months by actively trying to hold myself back, listen to how their tone is worked, listen to my gut instinct about fashion or about the way their hands move.
Interesting.
The eyes darting or the general mood of the atmosphere of what day it is.
Oh, yeah.
All of those things incite, for me, all of the aggressive actions out in society that, you know, the dogmas, the mantras, the karmas, mm-hmm. all of those types of people come out. I see them, whether or not they're put there just for me or whether they're put there so I can recognize them. Mm-hmm. I'm able to identify my tone and hold it back, learn about myself and try my best to identify my own place in society.
A relatively uneventful Friday night with
Jessica
and
Chase.
I mean, he didn't even ask me. He didn't even want to know what I was all about. What I had in mind. I heard about him and what he had to say and his different opinions, but you know, I guess it wasn't really a match. I mean, we couldn't really see eye to eye on things, and most of our viewpoints are anyways quite different, so I'm really not so sure about this whole thing, but I spoke to him anyways and told him about some things that I was been thinking about lately. I just really wanted to give him a shot.
Well, you see, she talked to me about something called carpet tunnel syndrome. Yeah. As if I knew what that was. She sounded smart with her words. Or maybe I just appeared dumb. We talked about theories for a bit. Nothing that I really understand.
She didn't even know what Pythagoras' theorem was.
I said something about cheese and
he spoke about his
these different feelings that I've had lately.
Parmigiano's, pecorino, and his cheddar.
My opinion on lactose. I felt pretty smart.
I mean, like, come on, what a total foosball.
But as soon as our eyes met after what I said about the lactose, I could tell we weren't on the same page.
I mean, it wasn't like we weren't ever on the same page. It was like we were reading two different books from the start.
Yeah.
No, I've dated quite a lot of men in my life. Yeah. And it's definitely fair to say that I've been around the bush or around the bend, as they say. Yeah. But, I thought he was quite a special guy. You know, from his profile that I saw and what my friends had told me about him and even the way he dressed, but yeah, I guess it wasn't anything there.
I wish it would have gone better for us, or for me, but you see, she was more into theories and me into cheese and I don't think it would have worked out.
Well, just like Rebecca says, there's plenty other lions to be tamed. But yeah, I just gotta learn, I guess.
I think I would get an award for being creative to solve my height challenge. I would get an award for that. Well, I could just come out on stage and I could show everybody how short I was. That would start. And then I guess I would say thank you, and perhaps talk about, I would probably say, how difficult it is to be physically height challenge.
How tall are you?
I'm 4'11" now.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be 4'11½", but I, you know, due to, you know, problems with my back, I'm now 4'11". I'm always having to drag chairs and stools and do things with poles in my hands and climb up on things. I think that's been quite a hardship. So I really thank the people who recognized my challenge and have given me an award for, you know, how well I'm able to overcome the problem.
My parents always told me that I was supposed to be named Mason and not Chris. Mm-hmm. And years later, I found out that was actually supposed to be the name of our dog. And then they got the dog and the dog died.
Oh.
And then they got a new dog and named it Molly.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really relevant, but I later found out that my name was supposed to be Boring Old Chris from the very start. But I told a lot of people my name was supposed to be something else.
Oh, interesting.
And everyone was like, oh, that could totally be your name. Mm-hmm. And they were just feeding into my ego, I guess.
Fair enough, yeah, definitely. What name would you like to have been named? Or did you like...
I kind of really latched on to Mason, something about it. It was like any name that's not like a... It's like a word also.
Oh, good call.
You know
what
I mean?
I do, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Crepant bruises breaking boundaries of cream. Cracked crevices corroding mountainous streams. Creepy crawlies horroring plenty of dreams. Feeble fantasies borrowing from French deeds. It yawls with the paws of the nauseous grunts, feeding fatter than those who spoke of the trunk. Yellow yogis yogurt in courageous blends. Faked fictives forging hurtful friends. Any acidic archives of bodacious tents meets Mark's markmanship in Hender's house. Hiding heavy-hollowed hiccups in a grouse. Beseeching bogus benders without my spouse. Perhaps piping pikes must be in the nude. While wheezing wonder, you mustn't be rude. For there with a hair on the sofa with boots, lay lousily lofted, his smelly poor moods. I bent over and picked up the plastic bucket. I noticed how everyone around me started acting differently. They stared at me with nervous faces, kind of just how I liked it, or pretended to at least. I heard someone yell, "Don't do it," from somewhere behind me, but I tried to ignore it. The bucket now seemed much heavier than I had imagined. My shoulders starting to feel heavy. I just pretended like nothing and that I didn't even notice that people were getting tense in their eyes. I looked down into the plastic bucket, slowly lifted it over my head. I swear I heard someone gasp. Make one of those noises of shock. It all felt rather dramatic. Perhaps maybe too dramatic. I don't know. Then I poured it all over my head.
We're in Ireland. And, it was my son's birthday, which is October the 3rd. So I thought I better send him a birthday. Happy birthday.
This is just last year.
Oh, yeah.
His son's in his 40s. Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, decided on this message. And then there are these little emojis that you can pick from.
Right.
So I looked at them and I thought, well, what would kind of be birthday-ish, right? Mm-hmm. So I noticed these little chocolate ice creams.
Cool.
And then they kind of went all the way around. The thing was cute. And anyway, so I sent my message. But of course, she and I are friends on Facebook. So we're on the train ready to go to Cork, yeah. I guess. We're traveling on the train. And she says to me, Cherry, why would you? And she couldn't get any further. Why would you? Because she was laughing her head off. Tears are rolling down. She can't say anything further except, why would you? And I'm there. I'm totally perplexed. I have no idea. Why would you put all these poop emojis around his birthday party? I mean, I thought they were like little chocolate ice creams. You know, like a Dairy Queen, you know?
But you know the emoji I'm talking about. I do.
Yeah, my son, though, he took it all in good stride because he knows that I'm really kind of dopey about things like that.
The time I'd be able to be like, oh man.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental spoken word radio produced at NESCAD University. This episode was entitled Our Wildest Dreams. The voices you heard in this episode were from interviews conducted by Erin Knowles at the 2019 Nocturne event that we held in Halifax. It also included additional material by Lucien Easton. The music was by Ross Unger. Nothing to See Here is produced by David Clark at NASCAD University in Halifax, Nova Scotia. A special thanks this week to Michael Day. For more episodes of Nothing to See Here, please search for Nothing to See Here Radio on SoundCloud.com.